I want to talk about empowering women greenhouse owners in Antalya, Turkey, by teaching them best management practices. This is a paper with myself, Robin Brumfield. I'm a farm management specialist at Rutgers University. Burhan Özkan, who's an ag economist at the University of Akdeniz in Antalya, Turkey. And Eda Albamas, who was a graduate student, PhD graduate student, in the Department of Ag Economics at Akdeniz University. This comes out of a project called EMOFA, Empowering Women Farmers through Farm Management Training. And it started with Annie's Project. I don't know if you're familiar with that here in the U.S. Annie's Project was started with by my colleague Ruth Hamilton at the University of Illinois to teach women farmers in the U.S. risk management practices. And the five areas of risk identified by the USDA just happened to coincide with five topics that you would need in a business plan. So in 2011, we started Annie's Project in New Jersey, and I thought, well, let's just take this to Turkey on my sabbatical. I have a daughter who's half Turkish, so I had been corresponding with Dr. Özkan for years, trying to do a sabbatical in Turkey, and I finally took it there. And what I found is that we don't really appreciate what we have in the U.S. with our land grant system. In other countries, they don't have that combination of science-based research that's extended out to the communities through a land grant university. In Turkey, they have universities like Akdeniz University, and then they have extension through the Ministry of Agriculture. So what I've tended to find is people at the university think that the people in extension are just government employees collecting a check for doing nothing, and what the people in extension think is the university people are sitting in their ivory tower doing things that don't really apply to the real world. So trying to merge those two was difficult, but luckily in 2011 we did sort of a needs assessment, ran around to different villages and interviewed women farmers to find out what they needed, what the conditions in Turkey were, so we could adapt the program to them. And also the director of Antalya, which is a province in Turkey, the director of the extension program, had been a student at the same time in the university that Dr. Özkan was. So we had that friendship that we used to get the project going. And then I was told by Annie's Project we couldn't use that name, so we had a contest to come up with a name, and they called it Suzanne's Project after my daughter Suzanne, which is what drove me there, because, you know, after 9/11 there was a lot of anti-Muslim sentiment, and although my daughter's not Muslim, her whole Turkish family is Muslim, and I thought it's, you know, harder to hate people up close and personal. And I had also seen in Turkey, by going there every year when I was married to her dad, that everybody tended to look down on these peasant farmers, even the peasant farmers themselves. And they were growing tomatoes in greenhouses that were wonderful, delicious food, and they don't have as much junk food there as we have in this country. But they were doing it because that's all they knew. They didn't realize that they were creating this nutritious health that, like you mentioned in the earlier talk, I think if you surveyed what they were eating, it's probably way closer to what we're recommending people to eat than we do here. So we created Suzanne's Project to give them confidence as businesswomen, just like Annie's Project, so that they could learn production strategies and that they could network with other women. What we find in the U.S. with Annie's Project, there's not a lot of networking. Fortunately, that was already happening in Turkey. They have these things called GUN, where the women meet weekly and share ideas. So they were already sharing ideas, but nobody at that time had trained them on production of their greenhouse vegetables or other ag products that they were growing. And furthermore, they hadn't trained their husband either. They might teach them, you know, sort of traditional home ec things, but not production for the greenhouse crops. So that's sort of the history. And so in 2011, 12, 13, I went back to Turkey several times, and I trained groups of women on business management techniques, and we also pulled the extension service and the university faculty in and taught them production technologies on how to use pesticides safely and better, you know, how to orient their greenhouses, all the production techniques they needed. And at that time, we also found that they all had computers in their house, but that was for their children. They hadn't touched them. So we taught them how to get on the internet, find things. And as you know, everything's boomed, and now everything's on our cell phones. But at that time, it opened a whole new world. A lot of these women are still Facebook friends with me from me being there. So I love doing that, but I realized I can't teach all these women in Turkey how to do this. There's a huge production area. If you ever fly over Antalya, it's just a sea of greenhouses with tomato production. So as much as I love doing it and would like to, I couldn't teach all of them. So we got a grant called EMOFA from the Erasmus II project from the EU to train the trainer. And I had talked about that last year at ASHS of training people, extension people, to train the women. And we actually got we added partners in addition to Turkey. We added partners from Germany, Spain, and Malta. So we actually developed curriculum in five different languages. We included a teacher's workbook to train the trainer. Then we had a workbook that the women follow, designed mainly for greenhouse vegetable production. So it has all the business management information they need, as well as some of the technical information they need to know about producing greenhouse vegetables. And we have these e-learning videos that our Spanish partner had done a great job of doing, just summarizing in like 2 or 3 minutes each chapter of those workbooks. So those were in five languages: English, Spanish, German, Turkish, and Maltese. So then once we got all that kicked off through the project, we had in October through November in 2018, we had the local extension service train actual farmers in Turkey instead of us at the university doing it. So we had 10 extension faculty as well as five veterinarian specialists, because a lot of these women will have, say, a milk cow for milk for the family in addition to their tomatoes greenhouse production. They may have a few sheep. They may keep bees. They have maybe a citrus orchard. There's also mushroom growing. So they usually have a little bit of animals, and they want some information on that. And the average greenhouse that they have is a little bit less than 3,000 square feet of the people that took that course in 2018. Their average age was 36.7 years. So it's a really different situation in Turkey versus here, because as you know, the average age of a farmer in the U.S. is 58 years old. So quite a big difference there, having young people. And 47% of them were millennials. I am finding a few millennials starting to go into farming in New Jersey. That's kind of new, but mostly our farmers are just like the rest of the country. They're older. So then we have some Gen Xers and a few baby boomers. One of the reasons we developed this project, though, is they are not very educated. Almost 75%, the highest level of education they achieved was primary school. So they didn't go to secondary or high school for the most part. And almost 95% of them are married. So really they're running this farm in partnership with their husbands. And the woman that you see here was one going back to 2011 after taking our Suzanne's project course at that time. She decided to go get a college degree. So that was a big success we had there. They had an average of about 2.4 children. You can see here some of them had none. The most number we had was six, and they actually, some of them brought their children with them that were, you know, too young to be in school. And they've been farming for quite a long time. I mean, they grew up in the business, so even though they're quite young, average years of farming was 15.3. And we asked them now are they happy to be a farmer? And the majority said yes, at over 77%. So that was heartening, because most of them, their goal was in 2011 is, I want to educate my children so they can go off the farm. I would like to see some of them educate their children so they could be educated farmers. So it's nice to know that they are happy doing that. About 87% of them make less than 2,000 Turkish lira per year. That's their income. And a Turkish a dollar is 5.3 Turkish lira, so that's not a lot of money to live on. So they're happy, though, with farming in spite of that. And they don't have a lot of off-farm income like people in this country do. Most of our farmers here in the U.S. Also have an off-farm job. Not many people in Turkey do. But going back to when I was there, when we asked them about doing it, thank you. When we asked them about, you know, do they want to do something else, they said, I'd like having my children with me. If I could go make more money working in the tourist industry, because Antalya is a tourist area, but I like to be with my children, so that's part of the reason. So about half of them have no health insurance. The ones that do have health insurance, they have, you know, government health insurance for artisans and people in agriculture, and a few of them have what they call a green card for people that are low income. And one of the things that I'm happy to see changing is they value extension as a support source of information, which they didn't when we started several years ago. So that's the number one place they find their information now. And also, when we asked why they attended the project, I could see when we were doing the farm management training courses and having a mission statement, that was so empowering for them. And so the word has gotten around, and so the number one reason they say they want to attend the course was to improve themselves, to empower themselves, and also to improve their job and to receive our certificate and to find government support. And what do they take from the course? They want to make new projects in the future. Some of them had wanted to go into more organic production, more sustainable. They wanted the technical information, and they wanted to learn about how women are. What they took away is that women are important in the rural areas. So they have changed a lot of their biological controls. They hadn't been taught about pesticide safety, what pesticides to use, and so forth. So that was their biggest change that they took away, and being more hygienic in production. A lot of that would be related to their animal production. And also, I was happy to learn that they had been taking a lot more extension courses since I've been there. As I said, they all have lots of other agricultural enterprises. Their main one tends to be the greenhouse vegetables, but they do have other things, so they've taken a lot of production in other areas, and they almost 98% of them want to come to other courses in the future. So I think I'm finishing right on time. So if you want to stay around and ask questions to me or any of the other speakers, you're welcome to do that. Thank you so much. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, thanks for that. I used to work with open field potato production in Turkey back around like 1990. We were trying to introduce new varieties for like Frito-Lay. New varieties from Europe and U.S. that they didn't have. And, we worked with some pretty simple farmers back then. And the women got all the drudgery jobs in open field potato production, like the really back-breaking planting work and then sorting through the good and the bad stuff in the factory. And has that changed? It's like that the men weren't really willing to let the women get into, like, you know, why this fertilizer works and why this doesn't, or why you don't use that much water, and, you know, the whole, it seems like from what you didn't show many men in your pictures, which...
Well, we were targeting women. We didn't let the men come. Yeah, let me repeat that, because I think they're recording these and probably your questions aren't picked up. I think try to summarize the question is, how do the men feel about the women running businesses and taking these courses? I was very careful when I started in 2011 not to make this a battle of the sexes. And I always said, you know, take this home, share it with your partner, your husband, whoever's working in the business. But what I observed is they tend to be full partners in the greenhouse business together. And actually, the few women that I felt were kind of looked down on for what they were doing were ones that had husbands who may have had an off farm job and sort of look down on agriculture like a lot of the rest of Turkey does, that's just your little greenhouse thing. But I really didn't see that. You notice the one couple that I did have, he was quite proud of his wife and proud that she wanted to go to college. And when we asked them about, well, should we let men come, they said, yeah, men need training, but we still want to have just women being trained together. And I started in FFA in 1969, and that was the first year girls were allowed to take agriculture in this country, and it was a battle. And I, to be quite honest, I was resistant to start Annie's Project, because when I started at Rutgers 31 years ago, there was only one other woman an extension specialist in agriculture. And now I look around and there's more women going to Rutgers in agriculture than there are men. And so I thought, well, times change, we don't need that. But to my shock, when I started Annie's Project, women knocked down the doors. And before that, I would come up with what I thought was great farm management classes, and I would have to cancel them because three people would sign up. But then when I had only women come. So I think there is some of that, even in this country. Women like to be in a group by themselves because I haven't really studied women's history or women's studies or whatever. I've just been one, knocking the glass ceiling by myself, you know. So I've experienced it through the School of Hard Knocks. But I think there's still some of that. If you're the woman and I found this happening in my whole career, I'll have an idea and I'll bring it up in a faculty meeting, and then by the end of the day, somebody will say, wasn't that a great idea John had? And, you know, so I think women still kind of experience some of that no matter where we are. I hope not. I think it's way less than it used to be. But I find even in New Jersey, you know, which is a fairly blue, progressive state, women still want to have Annie's Project. So hopefully that answered your question to some extent. Okay, thank you so much, and I'm happy to stay around and answer any more questions if you